This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
Welcome to Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. The well-traveled road to the Kentucky Derby returns to Gulfstream Park with the running of the Grade 1 Curlin Florida Derby. Today sees 11 three-year-olds vying for the winner's share of the $1 million purse and, of course, some all-important Kentucky Derby points. The horse to watch is Fierceness, the reigning champion two-year-old who is listed today as the 8-5 morning line choice. So excited to welcome back to the show Brian Natto, a mainstay on Gulfstream's broadcast team. He's going to give us some details on the very exciting stakes-filled card today at the popular Hallandale Beach Racetrack. Next up, Melissa Keith. You know her as a talented guest announcer, handicapper, and harness racing journalist. Now she is Rideau Carlton Raceway's new full-time race announcer after John McMillan handed over the reins to pursue other roles at the Ottawa Harness Racetrack. Big shoes to fill, but Melissa's got what it takes. Passion, experience, and the chops necessary for fluid and fabulous race calls. Chalk up another big victory for Woodbine-based trainer Mike DiPaolo. His Frack Dancer took the $100,000 Texas Glitter Stakes last weekend at Gulfstream Park, and with that win, the three-year-old thoroughbred remains undefeated. Mike now has his sights set on the Woodstock Stakes April 28th at Woodbine, the day after its thoroughbred racing season officially kicks off. And finally, he's back. We're so happy. How about that? And co-host Larry Simpson will once again try to sniff out some potential betting gems at Woodbine Mohawk Park and some other North American tracks racing today with our Ponies Picks of the Day, sponsored by Rocket Ship Racing. It's going to be a fantastic show. Please get your HBI and Dark Horse accounts ready to go for some heavy-duty action. When we come back, Larry Simpson will join us with our show feature. In case you missed it, Ponies 24/7's recap of the week that was in horse racing news, sponsored by R.S. Propane.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. More from the track when we come back on 105.9 The Region.
Go from dark horse to winner. Dark Horse is Woodbine's new easy-to-use betting app that brings the thrill of the track right to you. Its AI-powered insights and strategies help you make smarter bets straight out of the gate. Feel the excitement of live-streamed horse races wherever you go. Get $30 to start betting when you sign up today using promo code GET30. Download the app for free at PlayDarkHorse.com. Available on Android and Apple devices.
The Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association of Ontario, the HBPA, has represented thoroughbred owners and trainers at Woodbine and Fort Erie racetracks since 1950. The HBPA provides members and their hardworking employees with medical insurance, pensions, benevolence, negotiations with racetracks, and government, and provides vital industry information to the horse people. For more information on the HBPA of Ontario, please visit our website at hbpa.on.ca.
Join us on March 30th when Gulfstream Park hosts the $1 million Curlin Florida Derby, a highlight of the Gulfstream Championship racing season and considered by many to be one of the most important preps for the famed Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May. The Curlin Florida Derby has a tremendous stakes-filled day of racing with no less than 10 stakes races scheduled. Watch and wager on all Gulfstream Park race days, including Florida Derby Day on March 30th, with your HPI bet account or Dark Horse app. It's the next best thing to being at the track.
Lymphoma Canada and Ponies 24/7 recommend that you don't horse around with lymphoma. Lymphoma affects the lymphatic system of both horses and humans, and currently there are over 100,000 Canadians living with the disease. Lymphoma is also the most common cancer diagnosis for adolescents and young adults. Visit lymphoma.ca/ponies to donate to the Don't Horse Around with Lymphoma campaign. With your help, we can promote early detection, assist newly diagnosed patients, and support lymphoma research.
This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
Welcome back to Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. I'm Ann Romer. Let me introduce you to my wonderful co-host, Larry Simpson, and our, in case you missed it, a look at the week that was in horse racing news and sponsored by RS Bulk Propane. We start on a very sad note, Larry. A member of the horse racing dynasty, the Stronach family, Frieda Stronach, so that would be Frank's wife, passed away earlier this week.
That's right. They were married for 60 years, and Frida is also mother to Belinda Stronach and Andy Stronach, and she was 81 years old, and I met her actually on a couple of occasions at a couple of award dinners and that with Frank, and yeah, she was kind of the matriarch of the family, and you know, kept everybody in line, you could say.
As the matriarch will do. Was she heavily involved, as Frank and Belinda are, in horse racing?
She would attend certain functions and that, but I think Belinda and Andy and Frank were a lot more involved in the business. But, you know, she had her purpose.
Our hearts go out to the Stronach family. That's and right. Condolences from us here at Ponies 24/7. So we talk now about Frack Dancer. That's the name of an amazing horse who's got some pretty great winning ways, including most recently the Texas Glitter Stakes.
Yeah, he's actually trained by Mike DiPaolo, who'll be on the show a little later to discuss Frack Dancer a little bit. But he won the Texas Glitter Stakes at Gulfstream last Sunday, and the horse is undefeated. So Mike's got to be pretty excited, and we'll talk to him a little bit later and find out.
Can't wait. Thanks, Larry. And that's In Case You Missed It, sponsored by RS Bulk Propane on Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine.
Are you looking for a reliable propane supplier for your home or business? Look no further than RS Bulk Propane, Canadian-owned and family-operated. With our premium propane solutions, you'll experience warmth like never before. We offer competitive prices, automated deliveries, and exceptional customer service. Don't let the cold get the best of you. Stay cozy with RS Bulk Propane. Visit rspropane.com or call us today at 855-225-0225.
Welcome back to Ponies 24/7 and our new feature, Road Trip. Our look at one of the showcase races this weekend, and powered by Pineview Hyundai, the smart choice. And Larry, I've got my bags packed now for Southern Florida.
Yes, we're heading back to Gulfstream Park today in Hallandale, Florida, with the running of the Grade 1 Curlin Florida Derby, a Kentucky Derby points race with a purse of $1 million. Since 2005, the race has been run 5 weeks before the Kentucky Derby and was added to the Gulfstream Park stakes schedule in 1952 at a 1 1/8 mile distance on the dirt. In total, 21 winners of the Florida Derby have gone on to win one or more Triple Crown races, with 15 of them victorious in the Kentucky Derby, and a list that includes champions like Carry Back, the Great Northern Dancer, Spectacular Bid, Forward Pass, Monarco, Swale, and Unbridled, just to name a few. Jockey John Velasquez leads all jockeys with 5 Florida Derby wins, Todd Pletcher tops all trainers with 7 victories, and famed Calumet Farm won the event 5 times between 1957 to 1978. Today sees a competitive field of 11 3-year-olds entered, including number 9 Conquest Warrior, who has the appearance of the now horse, with 2 victories in his last 2 starts, one in a maiden special weight and the latest in an optional 75,000 claiming event, and both over the Gulfstream dirt track. In that last race, Conquest Warrior dominated and won by 5 lengths, which is a big plus going into today's Derby. Trainer Shug McGahey is having a terrific Gulfstream meet and has worked Conquest Warrior 3 times since that last victory. And Shug boasts numbers of 19%, with horses making their second start off a layoff between 45 and 180 days, and 22% with horses that won their last start. So the $1 million Curlin Florida Derby, number 9, Conquest Warrior.
Woohoo! Thank you, Larry. And that's Road Trip, powered by Pineview Hyundai, the smart choice.
Pineview Hyundai, combining horses and horsepower. The Romeo family has been a part of the Ontario thoroughbred industry for over 35 years. And as a provider of the official vehicle of the NHL, they want to invite you to score some huge deals when you visit their Pineview dealership and view the award-winning Hyundai lineup. Visit either store today, 3790 Highway 7 in Vaughan or 180 Delta Park Boulevard in Brampton. For an appointment, call our Vaughan store at 905-851-2851 or Brampton at 905-791-2728. Or visit us online at pineviewauto.com or pineviewwest.ca. We are the smart choice.
Welcome back to Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. A hearty welcome back to Gulfstream Park's Brian Natto, who will not only break down today's big Florida Derby, but also some of the other stakes events on the Gulfstream card today. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be with you guys and Larry as well. 14 races culminating with, of course, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, which is basically an automatic qualifier for the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, you look no further than last year when Mage parlayed a second-place finish in our Derby into Gloria Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby. So we are amped up and ready to go.
We didn't even have to ask. You know your stuff, that's for sure.
Well, let's get right into it, Brian. Let's talk about the Florida Derby today. Who does it run through, do you think?
Whew, that's a heck of a question because, you know, Fierceness is the 8-5 morning line favorite. He's the 2-year-old champion, and he was pretty bad in the Holy Bowl. I didn't think he had much of an excuse at all. He was literally about 1-100 on the odds boards on the far turn, and he couldn't even run second. He was very uninspiring. He's trained forwardly. They're going to come back to him, I'm sure, on the tote board. But I think he's got a lot of questions to answer. The horse that beat him that day and won the Holy Bowl convincingly, Hades, is back in here. And Conquest Warrior, who's actually got a 9-furlong mile and an eighth win right here at Gulfstream Park, is kind of licking his chops because the Holy Bull is a good race. The Fountain of Youth is a good race, but that is a short stretch finish line race, and there ain't no short stretch later today. They're going to have to earn it out there. So I think that really, really puts another little kind of a monkey wrench into the equation because this is a serious race out here this afternoon.
With the way that Fierceness just performed, what does that mean to the other horses entered in the Florida Derby in terms of what you expect from them? Can that be taken advantage of?
If nothing else, Ann, I think it gives them hope. Not a lot of horses would want to enter this race. They wouldn't have the confidence that they do, but now he comes in. He's done this before, by the way. He's run bad races before. Now, to his credit, they have gotten him to rebound, most notably in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile when he cemented his championship. But that, you know, doesn't mean it's going to happen again, and he'll go farther than he's ever been before later this afternoon. Post isn't ideal. I don't think it's a huge problem as long as he breaks a little alertly. He didn't break great in the Holy Bull, but I don't use it as a viable excuse at all because he just, quite frankly, is not very good in the Holy Bull.
But he's been training okay, hasn't he?
He sure has, Larry. Everything indicates he's coming up to this race in very, very good shape. You know, Johnny just kind of was pretty candid, actually. If you watch our simulcast feed or you can check out on YouTube and Twitter, it's going to be out there. It is out there. That, you know, Johnny is pretty candid. I don't really know why he didn't run that well. You know, figure it out, and hopefully he bounces back. But all indications and the workouts are out there. He's trained very forwardly for this, and I don't think, you know, it won't be for a lack of fitness. So it'll just kind of have to see if he's good enough now.
Do you think it could be psychological? And, you know, everybody rolls their eyes when I ask these kinds of questions, but I know how intelligent horses are. Could it be a psychological issue?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's really tough to say because it's happened, like I said, it's happened before. It happened after he had a smashing debut win, and then at Belmont Park in the Champagne, he was not any good, and then he bounced back. So maybe he's just a finicky horse that he didn't wake up feeling like he wanted to fire that day. So we'll just have to kind of see. And quite frankly, I don't know if anybody's going to know until we spend about a minute in 48 or 49 seconds running the Curlin Florida Derby.
So how do you handicap a race like that, then, based on what you've just said?
If you're a Fierceness fan, you have to be forgiving. I think that there's no doubt about that. I know a lot of people think he is the best horse in the country, so they're kind of banking that he's going to show that. On Saturday, if you're a Hades fan, you're thinking he's down towards the inside, and he's probably going to be, if not the controlling speed, he'll be in front, that's for sure. And if you're a Conquest Warrior fan, you're going to think that his foundation and the ability that he has to negotiate a proper two-turn race is the key, and that he's probably been playing catch-up throughout his brief career. And now everybody kind of meets in the middle later today because the precociousness of a good two-year-old is long gone, and now you got to earn it at a proper 9-furlong. So I do feel like as far as simply ABC handicapping, there does seem to be at least enough speed to make this an honest race, but main track races at Gulfstream Park are not going to be won, as a very general rule of thumb, are not going to be run from one from too far off the pace. So you do need the ability, if you're looking at this race on paper, I think you do need the ability to be able to lay at least mid-pack.
Talk about how important is the Florida Derby, do you think, to the Kentucky Derby trail? It sent a few horses to the Derby that have won, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mage most recently just last year, and you know, he ran against a two-year-old champion, Forte, who was unfortunately wasn't able to make the Derby last year. But yeah, and I keep harping back to it, and I don't want to beat it over the head too much, but this is just a real proper two-turn race later today, and I think it gives a lot of horses the foundation to go on to Churchill Downs and run the mile and a quarter. You know, as we all know, you need a particular type of horse, and of course they can come from anywhere and everywhere. And California has had success at our sister track in Santa Anita for you know, many years as well. But yeah, front and center here, this Florida Derby is you've got to earn it, and I feel like that's just really a great springboard to Louisville, and it sends not only, you know, Larry and Ann, not only the ability to you know, earn your way there, but to be battle tested and face good horses. Whoever wins later today, you know, they're going to be in a real race. Whoever comes out of this later this afternoon is going to have earned it, and they're going to have some moxie and some chops to head to Louisville.
And what does the Florida Derby mean to you personally or professionally? I should really ask, Brian. Is this sort of the culmination of a long season of hard work, or is this the gateway to future endeavors that are going to be equally difficult and challenging and heavy workload for you?
This is the former, Anne. This is the former, because it's been a long winter. We have a heck of a lot of fun, but this is the wrap-up party. So, you know, we've had an awesome 4 months down here. Of course, the Pegasus in late January, the Holy Bull right after the Pegasus, and then the Fountain of Youth. And this is the culmination of a phenomenal championship meet. The turf course has really held up wonderfully. And then just to bare bones, you know, with the Florida Derby, it's the culmination also of a winter long seeing these three-year-olds progress and seeing these three-year-olds who can put up, you know, and a Conquest Warrior is a great example, coming through the ranks, breaking his maiden here, winning an allowance at 9 furlongs, and now testing his mettle in the Florida Derby. So I think it's a pretty cool way to bring the curtain down on what is always a huge winter here at Gulfstream Park in Hollandale Beach.
Oh, that's so well put, Brian.
Well, speaking of the meet, would you say that there was a jockey that maybe had a breakout meet? I know Paco's had a great meet, but has there been somebody else?
Yeah, Paco has, but I have to be honest, Jose Ortiz has had a phenomenal meet. He's right there with Paco, second in the standings. Irad is long gone, and we knew Irad was, you know, going to be tough to beat and a multiple Eclipse Award winner, but Jose Ortiz has had a phenomenal meet. He's highlighted probably by winning the Pegasus Filly and Mare Turf with Didia, and he's on Conquest Warrior today, and he's got every right to really put a cherry on top, and he's gonna go off to Kentucky and ride full time there in the spring at Keeneland, and then Churchill in the late spring, summer, and I think that's a first for him and his family, and I know he's amped up to do that. He's going to go there with probably as much confidence as he ever has, and certainly he's going to go there on top of his game, because he really, really has had a phenomenal championship meet.
Fantastic. I want to zero in on you, Brian. When you finish this interview with us, what will be happening for you and to you for the rest of the day?
Well, the day's kind of fun, actually, and to be honest with you, because the heavy lifting is done now. So we can really kind of just sit back and do our thing and talk racing, which we love to do. There's a lot, as I'm sure you can imagine, and you know, I'm sure you go through it putting your show together. You know, there's a lot of things behind the scenes to get you to the show, and then when the show happens, you can kind of, you know, I don't want to say put your feet up, everything that got you there is done, and then you can just let your you know the naturalness take over. And so that's kind of what we'll do here. Hey, we've got 14 races. We'll do some winner circle interviews, and there'll be a press conference after the Curlin Florida Derby. But the day in and of itself is just kind of enjoying some world-class racing and having the best seat in the house to do so.
There's been a lot of Derby prep races, you could say, point races up till, you know, Florida Derby Day today. Has there been one race that has really impressed you as far as being on the road to the Kentucky Derby?
Boy, that's a good question, Larry. Good question. I'm a skeptic at heart. I always kind of look to poke holes into horses because, you know, we're gamblers too. And I think that's where you get value if you can say, oh, I don't really like that horse. The Risen Star at Fairgrounds, I think, was probably the race with Sierra Leone, who's a lot of people's Derby horse, winning. But I feel like not only later today, certainly, because regardless, if one of the three big horses here wins, you know, they're going to go on to Kentucky as, you know, one of the couple of favorites. You know, maybe somebody runs a crazy figure, they'll be the favorite. But regardless, I mean, the fiercest one, he'll be the Derby favorite. But my point is, I feel like the best is in front of us.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the history of the Florida Derby, I think after today, everyone will probably look back and say this was the race. Now there's races to be run, you know, coming up clearly, and maybe something else, you know, sticks out. But I think if I had to point it out, it would probably be the Risen Star. But quite frankly, the horses out of the Risen Star didn't really, I didn't think they really acquitted themselves all that well in the Louisiana Derby. So maybe even that remains to be seen. And the Risen Star was run over a messy, sloppy track. So we'll have, a beautiful racetrack. I feel like when we come out of this race a little bit later on this afternoon, early evening, I think it's going to be pretty definitive. I'm pretty confident in that, unless something, you know, unfathomable happens and some 40-1 wins.
In other words, the best may yet be to come today after the Florida Derby.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you, Brian Natto. We'll speak again.
And sounds good, Larry. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
When we come back, Rito Carlton, Raceway's Melissa Keith joins us next on Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Follow us on Twitter at 1059 The Region. We'll be right back.
Enjoy the thrill of the race anytime with HPIBet.com, the number one betting site for experienced horse players. Join for free and watch and wager when you can't bet at the track. Stream live racing from over 500 tracks from around the world. Bet with ease from anywhere. It's safe and secure. Sign up today and get 1 month free live race streaming. Plus, for a limited time, get a $100 bonus and your first bet is on us. Go to HPIBet.com to join for free today.
Ontario Racing, the excitement of thoroughbred, standardbred, and quarter horse racing at 15 racetracks. We are the voice of the Ontario horse racing industry, and we direct breed improvement programs, set annual race dates, and work on attracting new horse owners and race fans. Ontario Racing is committed to supporting a vibrant industry with one vision, working together for a stronger horse racing community. To get your horsepower, go to OntarioRacing.com and experience the excitement. Ontario Racing, three breeds, one vision.
This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
Welcome back to Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. We are pleased to be joined by Melissa Keith, who recently was named racetrack announcer at Ottawa's Rideau Carlton Raceway. Melissa, welcome to the show. It is great to have you with us. How did this all come about? How did you become the official racetrack announcer at Rideau Carlton Raceway?
Hi, Ann. It's great to be on Ponies 24/7. And I was kind of pleasantly blindsided, you could say, by the invitation to become North America's first female harness racing full-time track announcer. I got the call from racing manager at Rideau Carlton, Peter Andrasek, and he said that the current announcer, who was John McMillan at the time for many years, John is actually in a battle right now. He has a glioblastoma, it's a form of cancer, and John took himself off the roster. He said, I cannot continue it too much with my treatment and symptoms. So they reached out to me, and I said yes.
John was pretty much an icon calling races. I'm curious, did he give you any advice when you took the job?
I knew John, not for a long time, but I had met him last year. I'd gone up to Rideau a few times, and we talked, and I don't think he's one for giving advice. We just talked. He was always friendly and encouraging about race calling, and I was eager to interview him the first time we talked. He had gone to Woodbine Mohawk Park, the top harness racing track in the country, to fill in for an announcer there, Ken Middleton, who had been injured in a horse training accident. Our first conversation was a very positive one, and it was just on that note about John stepping up for the biggest race calls of his life as a guest caller. And he let me guest call at Rideau last year. So it wasn't so much giving advice or help. He was the senior colleague, and I was the visiting understudy, maybe you could say, as it's turned out.
I can't get over the fact, and you said this just a few minutes ago at the start of the interview, that you are North America's first female harness race track announcer. That's quite an honor, and it also surprises me that you are the first.
Well, there's been other women doing it. That's the thing. They just haven't been full-time track announcers. In my home province of Nova Scotia, Diane Daniels was the race secretary and manager at Truro Raceway, and she was regularly calling races at a fair in New Brunswick. The Port Elgin Exhibition had racing every year, but it was not a full-time racetrack, and there was no wagering. So I think women have been involved probably all along in these more, you know, harder-to-find roles, I guess you'd say. Like, they don't stand out on websites, and they're not big racetracks, but I think women are capable and have called races, but it's just not so visible, and they haven't been full-time until now.
Well, I want to go back. You actually started last Sunday calling the races at Rideau, but I thought I read someplace that actually John McMillan called the first race and then he handed the mic over to you. Is that true?
That is correct. John needed, I felt, everybody agreed. It had to be official. John had to call one more and hand it over at that point as he wanted to do. And he gave it his all. And he was really, you know, working hard with the illness, doing, unfortunately, what it does, it can make it hard to grasp for the right words in a timely way. So he knew that and he handed it over. And I was really appreciative and, you know, just watching him, being in the booth with him for that too, I was really touched and impressed by him as a human being, but as a race caller, like putting that much effort into it, fighting this illness and doing an excellent call as Beach Roller won the first race. And John confirmed in a text last night, he is now retired from race calling, officially retired, but he will be there with me this Sunday as a handicapper, and he continues to own and train Rideau-based horses. So you'll see John McMillan continuing on with the track.
When that happened last Sunday, it must have been very emotional for you. Where did you have to go in order to continue to do what you were doing, to call races with the experience and enthusiasm and the steadiness that you always do, knowing that you had just had this emotional moment with John?
I've seen this with other race callers, too. You really can't let anything else influence you accept what is happening on the racetrack, and that's what people need to know who are betting these races, who own these horses. There's a lot of people counting on you to stay objective, so you can't, and I didn't, get too caught up in anything else. But I've kept in touch with John and talked with John before and after, and he didn't want that either during his last race call. People interrupting with well wishes or,
right,
you know, conversation that was taking away from what's on the track. I think that's the number one thing, more than gender, with being a track announcer. Just you have to have that focus.
Well, let's talk a little bit about yourself, Melissa. You're a writer, you're an announcer, you're a handicapper. Where did it all begin for you?
Nova Scotia. I think here is a place where people still attend the races as fans and spectators. They may not even be big on the betting. There's a lot of $2 bettors. But I think it's still enough of a spectator sport in the Maritimes that you grow up with it in a way. Everybody has those pictures in their house of family or family friends in the winner's circle with the $2,000 claimer that their friend owns and these kind of things. So it's really just a part of your life. My dad's best friend growing up was a racehorse owner here, Charlie Piper, and we supported his horses. And there was just, you know, there was a sulky in my grandparents' neighbor's backyard. It was always there. There were just always those connections.
And thus the passion for harness racing.
And the horses. I mean, when you meet standardbreds, you know, they're very special horses. They're so gentle, very intelligent. A child can work with them for the most part. And yet they go out there and they do amazing things, like staying on the trot or the pace instead of galloping. That takes a certain kind of intelligence, I think, just from the horse to understand that.
So where did the interest in handicapping harness races come from?
Nova Scotia. Not to be too repetitive, but I just think as a small bettor growing up and having a father who was, he was an auditor by trade, so he was very frugal in his betting. And I learned early on about return on investment. There's no point betting 50 to win 60 yeah. or win 40. You know, you try to find things that are a bit more appealing than that. And it was always an interest. And when you hit a few of those big tickets, it's something that stays with you. It's a great feeling.
I also want to talk about the fact that you're a writer. What kind of writing do you do?
Harness racing.
And where did that come from? Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia, yeah.
Yep, yep. You got it.
Of
yep,
course.
Nova Scotia, where it started. I think there's so many people from here, again, like the great Bill O'Donnell, and yeah. so many people training and driving horses from here. Nova Scotia breds, the greatest standard bred of his generation and possibly ever, some beach somewhere, being from here. It's just a province that encourages that. The stories are here. And they travel. They travel to Ontario. They travel everywhere.
Melissa, when you call a race, how do you prepare and what goes through your mind when you're actually in the booth and you're watching a race? And how do you keep it all in focus?
Binoculars.
From Nova Scotia.
Made in Nova Scotia.
Sometimes you have to leave Nova Scotia behind, but not too far behind. The main thing, I think, is trying to, you know, you try to memorize what's out there, but a big part of it is knowing the colors of the drivers, so familiarity with them. And add to that that the horses often have distinctive equipment on. So you might make note, the two has a red shadow roll over his nose. So if there's a tight photo or a lot of, you know, a compact field, you can follow that shadow roll to some degree if you can't see the number on the horse or the driver if it's muddy. So just little things like that.
When I reached out to you the other day about doing this interview, I mentioned somebody that was very important to my career, Bill Galvin, and you perked right up. And,
Bill.
And yeah, you perked up and said, you know, and got speaking about him. Why was he so important to you?
Bill Galvin reached out to me just looking to find ways to help keep youth interested in harness racing. He got my number from a friend, I believe, Ann McNeil, a photographer from PEI. And Bill and I discussed a lot about ways to bring more kids in and get them genuinely involved in all aspects of covering the sport. So he became a friend. He would phone me. He was following a horse I co-owned, Sonny Billion. So when Sonny Billion occasionally raced well, there would be the big all-caps message from Bill Galvin in my email with the congratulations for Sonny Billion. And he was just such a genuine lover of racing, both breeds, and a wealth of knowledge. And just a good all-round person who really, really loved the sport. It was very sincere from him.
And that's pretty much morphed over now to the Bill Galvin Alliance, right? That Ken Middleton and that
is carry on.
Yeah.
And Bill was also a member of USHWA, the U.S. Harness Writers Association. Mm-hmm. So while he was a member, he rejoined USHWA, and he was part of the formation of the U.S. Harness Writers Association youth membership, where it's a sponsored category, but each year kids or anyone under age 21 within the calendar year can apply. Their membership is subsidized, and they get the opportunity to enter some contests and find mentorships and opportunities within the industry from people working in it.
Melissa, you're back in the booth tomorrow at Rideau-Carlton. What are your hopes mm-hmm. for your new role as the first full-time race announcer, harness racing in North America, but at Rideau-Carlton?
It's a lot of responsibility, I think, as a race caller, although some people will always have you on mute, as another announcer friend has said, and you're not necessarily the one they have turned up at the off-track betting lounge. But I just try to keep it clear and accurate, and I think respect for the horses and the horsemen is my focus, getting the names right and trying to showcase them. I did not seek this position. It was never advertised, and I had not applied. I did not know it would be open, but as an announcer, I don't really want to focus on me. I think the racing at Rideau-Carlton is excellent and underrated. It's a really good wagering product. Like, the field size is excellent. We had exactly one scratch last week, one scratch on opening night. That's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
And some good prices and competitive racing, like a number of very close finishes for win. It has a lot going for it, and it might not be as visible as some other tracks, but it's certainly a good wagering product, a 5/8 mile track, which a lot of horses and horse players seem to enjoy. So I'm very happy to be there.
Well, well said, Melissa. Good luck in Ottawa at Rideau-Carlton, and we'll have to have you on here real soon.
Oh, thanks, Larry. Great to talk with you and Ann, and anytime.
Excellent. Thank you, Melissa. After the break, when we come back, Woodbine trainer Mike DiPaolo is our guest. Stay with us.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Listen live at 1059theregion.com.
Are you looking for a reliable propane supplier for your home or business? Look no further than RS Bulk Propane, Canadian-owned and family-operated. With our premium propane solutions, you'll experience warmth like never before. We offer competitive prices, automated deliveries, and exceptional customer service. Don't let the cold get the best of you. Stay cozy with RS Bulk Propane. Visit rspropane.com or call us today at 855-225-0225.
Enjoy the thrill of the race anytime with HPIBet.com, the number one betting site for experienced horse players. Join for free and watch and wager when you can't bet at the track. Stream live racing from over 500 tracks from around the world. Bet with ease from anywhere. It's safe and secure. Sign up today and get 1 month free live race streaming. Plus, for a limited time, get a $100 bonus and your first bet is on us. Go to HPIBet.com to join for free today.
This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
We are thrilled to be joined by Woodbine Thoroughbred trainer Mike DiPaolo. Last weekend, Mike's Frack Dancer was the winner of the $100,000 Texas Glitter Stakes. You can expect to see this guy in the Woodstock Stakes at Woodbine on April the 28th. Mike, welcome back to the show, and where exactly are you right now?
Thank you. It's nice to be on. I'm in Florida. Just getting a haircut, just getting ready to come home.
Sounds good to us. And just before we move along, how is the weather?
Well, it's 30 degrees, just lovely. It's perfect. Okay.
We thank you.
We like it. That's why we're here.
We thank you for that information.
Yeah, you just made my day, Mike, so thanks. But all right, let's get into it, Mike. Talk about the win by Frack Dancer in the Texas Glitter. Were you surprised that he won?
You know what? He'd been training real well. His last work was really good. And he's a pretty nice horse. He's undefeated. So we're pretty excited. I thought he had a pretty good chance to win.
What made you think that? And how were you training him leading up to the Glitter?
Well, this race was supposed to be on grass. And they had had a bunch of rain a few days before. And they took the race off the grass. And my horse has only run on the tapita at Woodbine. So when the race came off, they scratched a horse that was a fourth in the Breeders' Cup. That horse worried me a little. But I thought we'd be okay with the rest of them.
Well, you must have been chomping them when the two horses were scratched, eh?
Yeah. But, you know, in a way, I would have liked to run them on the grass, but the fact that it come off, I'd rather. I know we're for sure a polytrack specialist.
And so how would you describe Frack Dancer to us?
He's a solid-made kind of horse. Looks like a sprinter. Exciting horse. Very laid back. Just does his thing. He's a colt, but you wouldn't know it. Doesn't bite. Doesn't act up stupid. He's actually a character.
So are you.
But he is undefeated. And now you're potentially looking to race him in the Woodstock Stakes on the 28th at of April at Woodbine, which this is almost, you could say, it always kind of like the was the first race on the trail to the King's Plate, eh?
Yeah, I don't know that he'll stretch out this guy.
Yeah.
But he'll certainly go, he'll certainly get there in a hurry when we run him short.
So how do you prepare? I mean, you're in Florida now, so you're going to be coming on home very soon. And so will there be a different tact when it comes to training when you're back home?
Yeah, we'll train him a little differently. This race was only 5 furlongs, so we kept him at a like half a mile works to keep him sharp. And we're going to try to, you know, lengthen out his works a little and his gallops, and he should be fine. I could tell you, it's not really a funny story, but it's a little funny. This horse was supposed to be ridden by Dave Moran early in his life. And we were, one day I just said, you know what, let's breeze him on the grass. He's got these nice feet. I'd really like to see how he handles the grass. This was early in his life. He was only working 3/8 or half a mile. So Davey gets on him. He goes to work him a half mile or whatever it was on the turf training track at Woodbine. He gives him a little tap in the shoulder, and he jumped through the rail. And now he's loose. He's running around the infield. Dave's laying on the ground. He broke his leg in two places, poor Davey. That horse put Dave out of action for most of the year. Horse never got a scratch on him. So when the jock was hitting him the other day, I was like, oh, don't hit him too hard, because I don't know what he'll do, but he's been real good. He's been real good.
Well, we actually had Davey on the show here about a month ago, and he was actually talking about what had happened in that. But talk about how you got Frack Dancer. You bought him, and what did you like about
him? We actually we raced his mother. So his mother won a stake for us at Fort Erie, a 5/8 stake. She was very fast also, and We bred this guy, a bunch of partners, and he's been a star since day one. We've liked him from his very first breeze.
You've got the word dancer in his name. What brought that on? Is it what you see or what you are hoping to see?
Well, he's inbred to a horse called Danzig, who was one of Northern Dancer's best sons. So it wasn't too hard to get from. He's actually inbred to Mr. Prospector 3 times. And Danzig twice, so he's got a lot of speed in his pedigree. And the dancer part, I guess, Frack Daddy, Frack Dancer, pretty similar.
What an incredible pedigree!
Yeah, he's quick.
Well, you've trained some good horses in your career, Mike. How does this guy compare?
Well, he's pretty good. I mean, we've had some horses at this stage of their life be undefeated, but I think he's going to be a sprinter, which limits it a little.
Yeah.
But I've trained some. Like, we had No Holding Back Bear that still holds the track record at Woodbine. That horse at this point still a little faster than him, but we can only hope that he can get to that level.
What does he still need to do in order to be the best of the best?
Well, he needs to stay sound and he needs to get a little quicker.
Mm-hmm. Easier said than done, Mike.
Yeah. Horses that run fast, they're the ones that things happen to, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The slow ones, nothing happens to the slow ones.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, let's talk. You're still down at Gulfstream. You're going to be coming up to Woodbine very shortly. How has the Gulfstream season been going for you? Obviously, pretty good. But you won a $100,000 stakes race the other day. But how was the rest of the meet?
We won with the very first horse we ran, which was kind of cool. That got us. At least we weren't going to get shut out. Because sometimes you can go 0-20, 0-30. And that's kind of embarrassing and humbling, but we got a wedding to pay for. My daughter's getting married, so that horse winning a stake, we got it done.
Oh, congratulations.
Whatever.
You are a riot. I'm sure your daughter's really happy as well.
Yeah. Italian weddings. We do funerals and weddings pretty big in Italian.
And horse races, too, it seems. So, Mike,
and there's a bunch of us in there.
Wrapping up things at Gulfstream, you'll be moving back to Woodbine. What are your hopes for this racing season for you this year?
Well, last year we had a suspension. We missed the first 3 months, which wasn't a lot of fun. This year, we were sort of out of the top 10. Last year, because of, you know, we missed 3 months of the season. We missed about 10 wins. So we'd like to get back in the top 10 and hopefully develop some of the young horses we have coming along and have a good year.
How many horses are you going to have at Woodbine, Mike?
We'll have near 50.
Hmm. Mm. Wow.
And they're, what, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, mixture?
Yeah, mix of everything.
Have you got your eye on one or two that you think might really come through?
We have two nice colts that we bought. One's by Munnings. He's out of a Galileo mare, and Galileo's about as good a sire as there is in the world. And the other one's a hard spun, out of a Stronach bred the horse. We raced against the mother. It was pretty good horse win stakes in Toronto. They're two Canadian breds we kind of really like, so we're crossing our fingers.
Yeah. I guess it's still early. I want to get back to a Frack Dancer for a minute. Have you got a schedule mapped out for him? Like you talked about the Woodstock Stakes. Have you looked forward to what he may be able to do or not do or going forward?
Well, he's Ontario sire, and they've got a bunch of races that would fit him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, we really weren't thinking Queen's Plate with him because physically looking at him, he you know, you don't want to categorize things so cut and dry, but when you look at a Ben Johnson, they're heavily muscled, you know, thick kind of horse or person. Then when you look at long distance runners like the Kenyans, they're tall, lean, skinny. So this horse fits more the Ben Johnson type, heavily muscled. Sure. So we really weren't thinking Queen's Plate, but there's a lot of sprint races that we're looking forward to.
And which ones are you looking forward to?
Well, after the Queenson, there's the Achievement, I believe, or the Queenston. Sorry, 7-8. That's 7-8, which maybe, hopefully, that's not too far for him. But that's a fold in Canada race, where the first one's an open race. But it looks like he can run with open horses because that's what he ran with here.
Well, talk about yourself, Mike. I think when you were on the last time, you kind of mentioned that it's kind of a family affair. You know, talk about how you got involved in the business and how long you've been doing it.
Yeah, my father was an accountant and owned horses since like 68. So as a young boy, I sort of read the Blood Horse. I liked reading the Blood Horse more than I did my school books. So I went to grade 13, and then I like to say I went to University of Woodbine. So I've been doing it. I'll be 60 in June.
Valedictorian.
I got my license. when I was 22, so I've been doing it a while.
And you talk about a family affair, so are your children involved, including the daughter who's soon to be married and maybe your future son-in-law?
No, my wife's my assistant trainer, and she's an Attard, she's Joe Attard's daughter. And my son, Joseph's got his assistant trainer's license. He's the only one of my three children that's in the business.
I guess going forward this year, Mike, are you a goal setter? Have you got some goals that you want to win so many races? I know you said earlier you wanted to finish in the top 10 again, but do you want to win, 40 races or so many stakes races? Have you set out any goals yet for your horses?
Well, we have one major goal we want to get to. We're 22 wins away from 1,000 wins, so we're hoping that happens this year. It's kind of a cool number to get to.
That's a pretty reachable goal, quite frankly. Very good.
Yeah,
we hope so.
So, last but not least, getting to know you as we have. You've been our guest on the show before. You're with us today. Getting to know your personality, and I want to find out whether it translates to your style as a trainer. So you strike me as somebody who is practical, no nonsense, you shoot from the lip, you tell it like it is. Is that how you train horses as well?
Well, you train horses, some horses you train to sprint, some you train to route. It's not that complicated. It's not really rocket science, and it takes a lot of stamina. You got to be able to get up every day and go to work. And fortunately, I just have the horses to deal with, where my wife has, I have the horses and the owners. That's my job. My wife's got the help and the bills to look after. So it kind of keeps us on two different tracks, and we've been able to get it done.
Perfect. Well, thanks for doing this, Mike. And, good luck with Frank Dancer and the rest of your stable this year. And I'm sure we'll see you up at Woodbine shortly.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. After the break, Larry Simpson looks at some racing action today around North America, including Woodbine Mohawk Park and racing at several other North American tracks. So please make sure your HBI accounts and Dark Horse app are ready to work overtime. Stay with us for Lucky Larry's Ponies Picks of the Day, sponsored by Rocket Ship Racing.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Listen live at 1059theregion.com.
Discover a new breed of excitement with live horse racing. Ontario Racing represents 15 racetracks where you can experience the excitement of thoroughbred, standardbred, and quarter horse racing. To find the racetrack nearest you, go to OntarioRacing.com. New to betting? Check out our Betting 101 page and learn about the HPI Bet wagering platform and the Dark Horse app. The best and safest online betting options. Get your horsepower at OntarioRacing.com and experience the excitement. Ontario Racing, three breeds, one vision.
The Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association of Ontario, the HBPA, has represented thoroughbred owners and trainers at Woodbine and Fort Erie racetracks since 1950. The HBPA promotes the exchange of ideas to further advance, market, and preserve live racing in Ontario while offering new thoroughbred ownership opportunities. Membership to the HBPA is free for owners and trainers. For more information on the HBPA of Ontario, please visit our website at hbpa.on.ca.
Join us on March 30th when Gulfstream Park hosts the $1 million Curlin Florida Derby, a highlight of the Gulfstream Championship racing season and considered by many to be one of the most important preps for the famed Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May. The Curlin Florida Derby has a tremendous stakes-filled day of racing with no less than 10 stakes races scheduled. Watch and wager on all Gulfstream Park race days, including Florida Derby Day on March 30th, with your HPI Bet account or Dark Horse app. It's the next best thing to being at the track.
Pineview Hyundai, combining horses and horsepower. The Romeo family has been a part of the Ontario thoroughbred industry for over 35 years. And as a provider of the official vehicle of the NHL, they want to invite you to score some huge deals when you visit their Pineview dealership and view the award-winning Hyundai lineup. Visit either store today, 3790 Highway 7 in Vaughan or 180 Delta Park Boulevard in Brampton. For an appointment, call our Vaughan store at 905-851-2851 or Brampton at 905-791-2728. Or visit us online at pineviewauto.com or pineviewwest.ca. We are the smart choice.
This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24-7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
Before we wrap up our show, I ask this every single week, but we know the answer. What would Ponies 24-7, the radio magazine, be without a couple of possible betting opportunities and potential betting gems? Well, it would be just not the same without this. Lucky Larry is here to give us his Ponies Picks of the Day, sponsored by Rocket Ship Racing. Larry, I've never heard you speak so quickly.
I'm going to take it away.
Okay. Or you away.
or yeah, maybe me away. But still at Gulfstream and their stake-filled card today. Race 12 is the Sand Spring Stakes, a purse of $150,000. It's a mile and a 16th on the grass. A large field of 10 have been entered, including number 6, Cairo Consort, who I believe tipped her hand in her last start, the Grade 3 Very One Stakes. In that race, Cairo Consort made a nice 3-wide move and actually took the lead in the stretch but got outkicked by 2 other horses and finished 3rd. Now that was a Grade 3 event, and the race before, trainer Todd Pletcher placed Cairo Consort in the Grade 2 Pegasus World Cup Filly and Mare Turf Invitational, where this horse trailed throughout, and although she was 10th, only 3¾ lengths separated Cairo Consort from the winner. This horse is a multiple graded stakes winner, including a Grade 3 event, and has raced in graded stakes her last 7 races. 8 races was the ungraded Ginger Brew Stakes, and Cairo Consort was a winner. I think that she will be love the drop in class today. So Gulfstream Park, race 12, number 6, Cairo Consort. Oaklawn Park hosts the $1.5 million Grade 1 Arkansas Derby today. Race 12 on the card, and a nice field of 10 have been entered. It's a mile and an eighth on the dirt, and includes a matchup between Brad Cox's Timberlake and Bob Baffert's Mutt, who you could say East Coast meets West Coast. I like number 2, Timberlake, who was very impressive in the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes, also at Oaklawn on February 24th. That race was at a mile and 1/16th, and today, as mentioned previously, Timberlake has an extra 1/16th of a mile to negotiate, which should really help this guy's racing style. He drew away from a decent Rebel field, and the extra distance today only helps Timberlake since that Rebel win. Brad Cox has worked Timberlake 3 times with 2 nice 5-furlong breezes and a 48-2 breeze 3 works back. So Oaklawn Park, race 12, the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, number 2 Timberlake dances to victory. With Woodbine Mohawk Park on their week's hiatus, we will take a trip tonight to Flamborough Downs in Dundas, Ontario, who have a 10-race harness racing card tonight. And it's a 1-mile pace for non-winners of race and $5,000. A full field of 9 will line up behind the gate tonight, including number 7, Premier Elsa, who hails from the Bob Young Barn and will be driven by his son, Scott. Last Saturday, Premier Elsa was making her first start since February the 15th, and actually her first start at Flamborough Downs. In that race, Premier Elsa got away 3rd from a rail post and then made a first up bid on the outside and got up to 2nd, parked out at the 3/4, but basically backed it to 3rd in the stretch. That race was a good tightener for Premier Elsa, and she should be in a position to do some damage tonight at Flamborough. She's a well-bred filly by the good stallion McWicked, and was race-timed in 157-1 in her career debut at Woodbine Mohawk Park. I'd prefer a better post tonight, but I do like the fact that Premier Elsa picks up Scott Young tonight as well. Flamborough Downs, race 2, number 7, Premier Elsa.
Thank you, Larry. Happy Easter. Here's hopping that it is great for you. See you next Saturday. A big shout out to market fans of horse racing before we go. Hi, Mark. And goodbye, and thank you all for joining us for this edition of Ponies 24-7, the radio magazine. Just a reminder, if you would like to receive a free digital copy of the current issue of Ponies 24-7 magazine, a new one will be released shortly. Please email Larry Simpson at theponies247experience@gmail.com. And please don't forget about the Ponies 24-7 Lymphoma Canada campaign, Don't Horse Around with Lymphoma. For more information on this, go to the landing page, lymphoma.ca/ponies. Please donate to this cause. Stay with 105.9 The Region all weekend long, and thank you so much for listening.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine with Ann Rohmer and Larry Simpson, has been brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 for more from the world of horse racing. This is 105.9 The Region.